Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that you have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Let's give thanks for these words that God can instruct us through, and pray that we might be a church like that today. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, He who spoke of Himself here as the one that was dead and is alive, one that was the first and is the last, one that is eternal with Thee, Father. And we pray that Thou would give us understanding of it, both by Thy Word and Spirit. We pray for that blessing to be given, that we might be taught in such a way that we will be revived, knowing both the need of Christ and knowing and having our need met through Christ, even at the present time, having more of Him, even as Paul could say, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. We pray, Father, that the church might throughout the whole world be revived in every nation, that it may again become a salt and a light in each nation, We pray, Father, for also ears to be given to those that must yet hear and be saved, be converted. We pray that many might be gathered in from darkness to light, from Satan to Christ. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on the church to have these blessings and then to be able to give these blessings. We pray also for those that need thee in temporal ways, the suffering, the awfulness of war, those in starvation, the homeless, the persecuted. We pray for wars to cease if it could be thy will. Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, there would be wars and rumors of wars, but also we read that there will be peace and that the swords will be beaten into plowshares. Give blessing and to give that which we need for food. And we pray, Father, that such a time might soon come if it could be thy will. We pray also for right understanding if it does not come, that we might submit. We pray for those throughout the world that are in hunger. We pray for the homeless in every place, and especially the war-torn nations. We ask, Father, for those in sickness and injury, that there might be healing, and above all, that there might be teaching through these afflictions. Even as the psalmist could say, it was good for me to have been afflicted, and that before that he went astray and learned through it the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray that many might have that greater blessing, and also the blessing of healing, and the preparation for death for those that will be left in their illness till that hour. We pray for our homes, the needs in them, especially the troubled homes, the children in those homes. We pray for those in older age, the lonesome, the sorrowful, all these, Father, that are in trouble. We pray that thou would give them that blessed faith that we sang about, and that we might especially have the faith to rightly prepare for death through Christ, in whose name we do give thanks. Amen. Looking at this letter once more, the letter to one of the two churches that was commended and not condemned, not called to repentance. Five of them were called to repentance, and these two, this one and the church at Philadelphia, had the blessing that is here described. Both of them also were told of those that said they were Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. The same thing is said of the Church of Philadelphia, just in the opposite way. There they're first of all described as the synagogue of Satan, and then after that they say they are Jews. We've gone into that in previous weeks, and there is sadly much of that in the church. Hypocrisy, false doctrine, like some of these other churches, having a name that they lived and were dead. They continue to be called a church, but are no longer truly the body of Christ. And especially when we read, are the synagogue of Satan. There is one way only to be a true church, and that is to have Christ as the head. He alone is that. And we must see that. We must see that he is the Son of God. We must see that he was one with the Father in the beginning, in creation. We must see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. We must see that in justification, coming from condemnation to being made just through Christ, to have sins forgiven. We must see that entering in from the world to the kingdom of God. The clarity of it must be taught and must be experienced. And then we learn that Christ is truly the head. He is, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of what God did, the 20th verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is the truth that puts aside the lie that many would say, that he is no longer the great and glorious prophet, the only Savior, the Son of God. Far above all principality and power. At times, he doesn't exercise that power, even though he could rightly say, after he was crucified and rose again, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. God sits set at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, and this must be believed. As I said previous weeks, of three religions that acknowledge God, acknowledge Abraham, and say they have their beginnings with him, but two of them do not acknowledge Christ as truly the son of Abraham, and the one of whom Abraham said that he saw his day and was glad. Abraham knew that, and Christ said it. Have it recorded in the Gospel of John. God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And only in that seed which is Christ. That must be known. There are those who want to put religions together. Some will say, well, this one is sufficient, that one is sufficient. This one also is peaceful religion. First of all, there is no peace with God except through Christ, his Son. And those that find peace with God through Christ are then part of his body, the church. And he is and remains the head. We know now our head is in heaven, gone to prepare a place for those that he died for and has saved and are being saved. And we must see that. Only then can we have the same blessing as the church in Smyrna. Only then can we be the true Jew, the one inward, the one spiritually, the one with Abraham. And as Paul would write, if you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We must be knitted to Abraham through Christ. There are those who are knit to him through blood, born in the lineage, but that does not make them one spiritually with Abraham. And they may say we are Jews, but Christ here says it's blasphemy. It's not true. It's not the way of faith. It's the way of our own works. And here, when Christ said to these at Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, and that thou art rich. Where do those works come from? They also come from Christ, who, as we've mentioned before, said just before he died, without me, you can do nothing. We are saved by faith in him and what he did. But then after, we are saved. And when we are saved, then we have also the blessing, as Paul writes of it, to this same church that I read, that he is the head. In the second chapter, we read, not only by grace are you saved through faith, but also, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So these had the works that Christ knew and was commending them for and would be satisfied with because they were created in Christ unto good works. Paul writes to the church at Rome, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's the Spirit of Christ in us that brings us to want to do God's will. Only when the will of Christ is in us that we will to do good. Without that, there's no will to do it. There might be pride, there might be deceit, There might be imitation. All of that can be there. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If we're left to ourselves, that's all we are. Even some in Judah were described as turning, but feignedly and not with a whole heart. Treacherous Judah, they were called. And only when God gives the blessing, as he also describes, he will give to Judah and will give to Israel, I will write my laws on their hearts, from the least to the greatest. The day has not yet come, but it will come. And it will come when they believe that this one speaking here is the first and the last. Micah said, whose goings forth have been of old, the first. Then he was born in Bethlehem, became a man, took on him the form of a man, humbled himself to the death of the cross. All of that must be believed. Much, again, in the church that called himself believers in God. Do not believe that. I just met a man this week, said he was a deist, believing in God as he thinks of him, God of nature, God that he knows through science, God as come to his own conclusion, but outside of the Word, not believing the Scriptures. The Scriptures make it very plain that no one can go to the Father except through Christ. And if we do not believe that first part, he, the first and the last, he which was dead and is alive, then we have nothing to do with the rest of it. We can't separate that. We can't do like those pictured in Pilgrim's Progress, climbing over the wall, walking with those that were going toward heaven. We must start at the beginning. We must start with him who is the first and the last. We must start with Christ. And I'm afraid that much of my audience has not started with Christ. You may have started with a church. You may have started with a man. Some churches have human leaders. They call them the head of the church. There is one head. These so-called heads have changed. Some of their doctrine is far from Scripture, far wrong. They can't be the head of the true church. Only the one who is fully, absolutely, and only the way, the truth, and the life. All others, even as much as they may know of the Word of God, are described as going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And some think they'll find their way to heaven, find their way in favor with God by hating, by killing. It's taught. It's done. It's terrible. It's blasphemy. Have nothing to do either with the God of Abraham or Abraham himself spiritually. And we must say it for God's glory. We must say it for the eternal good of every soul. We must know it. As Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so as we look at this church at Smyrna, you must become like them. And if you have not become like them, you have no part of what Paul says to them. I just read of a group that are going to take a tour, and Smyrna is included in that tour. There must still be a church there, described as a pastor that was there of that church. Some of the churches were never heard of again. They just disappeared. I'm not sure if this church continued or exactly what the state is of the church there today, but here is a church that is true because it has Christ as the head, as the first and the last, there before their beginning and was one that made their beginning and one that will be theirs throughout eternity, that gives eternal life, everlasting life. And then, as we said, they're created in him unto good works. And out of that, he can say, I know thy works and tribulation. They're works that brings often suffering. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, everyone that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And these evidently were that. And after he said of those that were in imitation, evidently in the same place and round about them, we don't know if they were Jews in the synagogue or what other relationship they were, but we're only told they say they are Jews and are not. God knows. Sometimes people don't know themselves. Sometimes others do not know, but God knows. Satan also knows. And he has them captive, taken captive by him at his will, as we quoted from Paul last week. Then he goes on, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. If we are once safe on the rock, we're safe forever. Safe from all things. We don't have to fear. I think even of those that don't believe, the greatest fear is, will I be right with God? Of those that say there's no God, I believe they fear there is a God and hope there's not. I remember the day when I stood looking up toward heaven and wondering, is this all true? And not knowing, I thought, I wish there were neither heaven nor hell, because I don't know if I'm going to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. That's all I knew. Gone to church all my life. Knew things backwards and forwards. Many things out of Scripture. Every year commemorating the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Taking that which was in remembrance of his body and his shed blood, called the Lord's Supper. It did not have that by faith only, as Paul said, they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And we want to deny the power that we need in God's grace. Every one of us begins with thinking that we can do it. We have done it. It's an odd mixture of unbelief and pride. It's a terrible belief. And God rightly describes it here as blasphemy. Blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. Oft to pronounce Jews, pronounce children of God, sometimes in a duplistic way. Some of them say that because they are, they baptize, and some say when baptized, they become. It's strange. Everything outside of Scripture is not right. Only when it's from Scripture, like Christ's wonderful command to preach the gospel to every creature, and the wonderful promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and the awful warning, he that believeth not shall be damned. And those words stand. They stood for Abel. He knew it. He believed it. They stood for Abraham. They stood for many, many others, and they will stand throughout eternity. They'll stand as truth judging us till Christ comes again. Then the final one will be gathered in. And the final one also will be cast out. And this church here at Sardis, those that he's speaking to, they didn't have to fear. They didn't have to fear from the outside. And whatever fear they had in their heart could be taken away. And as Paul said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace instead of fear. What do you have today? Fear or peace? Peace or fear? You basically live in one or the other. It's true that there is a false peace, but there is a true peace. And there's a great difference. There were those who cried peace, peace, when there was no peace in the time of Jeremiah, and the people loved to have it so. But they soon found out that it wasn't so. Only God's way, only in Christ, as Jeremiah called him, the branch. Others described Christ in different ways in the Old Testament, but he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same for Abraham as for you and I. That's why Christ could say, Abraham saw my day and was glad. These people here were joined with Abraham, as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles. You are fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. That's what happened to these people at Smyrna, the Gentile city, joined with those that had believed before even Christ's coming, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others. And now they didn't have to fear. He said, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. I think of Paul cast into prison, and at midnight he sang praises. Yes, sang praises, and the prisoners heard him. Then there came an earthquake. The prisoners were loosed. God sent a miracle. The jailer came, saw that they were loosed, thought he would kill himself because he would be dishonored. Strong Roman law. But Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And then the Philippian jailer could say, what must I do to be saved? Much the same as these people here came in. All these Gentile cities came in asking, what must we do to be saved? And here they are described as saved. Wonderful. Proving it by their works. Not saved by works, but working out their salvation. As Paul said to the Philippians, with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Much the same teaching as what we just read from Ephesians. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And though God said, you will have tribulation. First of all, he said it in the beginning of the letter. And then he says it again. He says, I know thy works and tribulation. And then he says, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Yes, from the very beginning, when God saves us, we have life. But the proof of it comes, as Christ said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We prove by our works whether or not we have a saving faith, whether we have a living faith. And as James said, without works, faith is dead. There is that. But there must be the faith in the living one, the Lord Jesus Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise